Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Brady residents!
Taking four children to the grocery store? I have one word for you. Don't.
What matters is that I love you and you love me.
You're always making things difficult.
Welcome to the real world.
I yelled at them. They never listen to me. It's very frustrating.
What can I do?
I'm Jim Burns. Step-parenting has to be one of the most difficult jobs in the world. You have to work twice as hard to earn the respect of your stepchildren, and you might have to take extra charge to maintain a good relationship with your ex-spouse while building a strong bond with your new spouse. Well, it's complicated, isn't it? Well, even with a mountain of issues, though, many parents do a great job blending their family together, and there's great hope. And if that describes you or someone you know, I want you to stay with me during the next half hour. We'll talk about keys to successful step-families next on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to see what the APU undergraduate experience is like, you have two options. The first is go to apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say, or just send me an email, roger@homeward.com, and I will be happy to tell you what it's like to be a student in the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program at APU for adults like yours truly, who went to school, got into a broadcasting career, and finished 100-plus units, and said, wow, 30 years later, I think I'd like to go back and finish that off. It's been a great experience. Speaking of putting things together that don't always flow nicely, how about blended families? Want some advice on keys to successful step families? Well, you've tuned to the right place. Let's get back into part two of Jim's conversation with Ron Deal here on Homeward. You're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns.
Well, it's possible whether your stepfamily came together as a result of divorce or death, you can have a positive stepfamily experience. It's not easy. It takes some work, but it is possible. This is part two of Keys to a Healthy Stepfamily with Ron Deal. Ron is a licensed counselor with the Better Life Counseling Center. He's also a family life minister at Southwest Church of Christ in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Noted author and speaker and the author of The Smart Step Family, 7 Steps to a Healthy Family. Ron, thanks so much for being back with us again.
It's great to be back, Jim.
You know, great insight. A lot of what you were saying in a previous program really was things that just as parents we need to know. Do you see that much difference in terms of parenting somebody from a blended family as opposed to somebody that just the regular nuclear family?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I had a stepmom say one time, being a stepmother is... Well, she said it's like setting your hair on fire and putting it out with a hammer. Step-parenting is really a challenge. You have all the responsibilities of parenting. That is the daily maintenance of the children and responsibilities to get them where they need to be and help them with homework. But you get very few of the rewards. You don't have authority until you've earned it by building a relationship over time. So you have to kind of act in this environment when you don't get affection, you don't get thank yous. There's not a whole lot of respect that naturally comes to the role and position. So it is a whole lot of work with very few rewards. And besides, power works very differently with step-parenting than it does with biological parents.
In that, are you suggesting that step-families need to be smarter than even the traditional nuclear family if they want to succeed?
I think so. And they really need to be smart about what their family looks like and how it will function best. And that's why we entitled the book, The Smart Step-Family. I'm convinced, Jim, that there are a lot of couples out there trying to make their step-family successful, and they're working hard and harder, but they're beating their head against a wall, and they don't know why, and they don't know what the wall is made up of. And it's the step-family complexity, the differences of step-family living than versus a biological home. And we help them get smart. We help them understand, hey, here's what's different, and here's how you put your family pieces together.
Well, it's important for us, I think, to understand that there are some practical steps we can take. Needs to be intentional. You'd mentioned in an earlier program, takes 5 to 7 years for this blending to sort of work. And I want to take us through the 7 steps that you've identified. I think they're great steps for healthy step families. Some of them are just great healthy steps for families. First, you encourage step families to step up. What does that involve?
Yeah, that's about reconnecting with God. You know, I think a lot of stepfamilies are very spiritually marginalized. You know, if they went through a divorce, for example, that's really rough. And oftentimes you lose your place of worship. You can't go back to that church anymore for whatever reason. Or a good-hearted deacon said something that really hurts your feelings and you just don't want to go back. And that often happens to people. We get wounded. And so we kind of begin to drift from God and His church. And the thing that I want people to hear in stepfamily, so they got a D on their head, the divorce D, right? And then you go and get an R beside it. And in certain Christian circles, to have a D and an R on your forehead, you just can't go to church, or at least you feel like
you don't
can.
Feel like you can, sure.
And so here's the message. You know, God loves and forgives the imperfect people in stepfamilies, just like He loves and forgives the imperfect people in biological families. And it's always been that way. All you got to do is open up and read about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, and you're in good company. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be faithful and have a walk with the Lord. So step up and meet Him and begin or return to that walk with Him.
And step families feel different then, is that what you're saying? They don't feel, you know, when they have the all-church picnic,
yeah,
or things like that, they don't feel like they belong? Is that
I think there's a feeling of being second class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like we know what God's ideal is in Scripture, one man, one woman for life. Well, if you're anything but that, then where does that leave you? And I think there's this natural feeling of being second class. And to be honest, some families are treated as if they are different. And again, what I believe Scripture teaches is that there's no such thing as a second class Christian, because there's no such thing as a first class Christian. There's just a lot of sinners who need a cross.
Right.
And so sin may be different. Your may be different than mine, but we all need the same grace. And that's what we fall upon when we come back to God.
That was the word I wrote down, grace, when you were talking about
that's
that.
It.
I was thinking we need grace in all of our families, and especially in a stepfamily situation.
People in biological families don't have an extra measure of grace.
Right.
You know, it's the same application for all of us.
Yeah. Boy, that is so true. Now, the second step seems to be polar opposite of the first. After stepping up, then you encourage stepfamilies to step down. Why?
Yeah. Now they're going to step down their expectations about what's going to happen in their family and how quickly it will happen. You've already mentioned the 5 to 7 years. Again, that's just kind of a caution sign to stepfamilies to say, look, this process can happen, building a family identity, building a sense of togetherness as a family with the children and step-parents, but it takes many years. It doesn't happen quickly. So we're going to step down our expectations that this is going to be a quick blend. It's not.
When they have natural problems that somebody who wasn't a step family would have, do they feel like are they blaming it more on the marriage or
yeah,
the marriage breakup or whatever?
Well, yeah, oftentimes. And again, spiritually, I hear a lot of themes coming through here. I've heard people say, you know, God didn't seem to be blessing our family. Maybe I shouldn't be in this marriage. And it's that spiritual guilt that's coming through. And again, I say, no, that's not true at all. God's not working against your marriage. This is a covenant. And like any other marriage covenant, it needs to be honored and kept. Now let's just work at being smarter about how you make this marriage work and work in the right directions.
Great, great advice. Step up, step down. The third step is actually good advice for any married couple, whether or not it's a second marriage. Why do you call it the two-step?
Well, and people in Texas know what that's all about, Jim. You know, it's that dance together. Think of two ice skaters, you know, the male-female ice skaters, partner ice skaters. They're unbelievable in their harmony, how they work together. If they don't, you know, somebody's going to fall on the ice. Well, that's the art of marriage. You got to learn how to not only do marriage, but you got to learn how to do remarriage with children. And that brings with it some unique components. And so sometimes there's some things from the previous relationships. For example, one of the things we talk about in the book is the ghost of marriage past, the idea that previous relationships can color the way you think about the current marriage. And if you're not careful, unfortunately, it can set you up to think the worst, not give the other person the benefit of the doubt. And now the relationship is looking for negative instead of looking to the positive. And so those kinds of things are unique about marriage. So that's how you learn to dance together.
Mm, that's great input. You have a great illustration of the importance of single-mindedness and dedication in marriage. It's the John Blanchard
yes,
story.
I love that story. John Blanchard, over 50 years ago, was looking for a woman getting off a train in Grand Central Station. And he didn't know what she'd look like. He only knew she'd have a rose on her lapel. And the story is that he'd fallen in love with a woman. He picked up a book of poetry and read it, fell in love with the book, wanted to write the author and say thank you. Her name was Hollis Maynell. He wrote her. She wrote him back. He wrote her back, and pretty soon they began to correspond by mail. He was sent over to World War II to serve in the Army. they fell in love by mail during that 18 months that he was in Germany. Comes back, they arrange a time to meet, they've never seen one another. And all he knows is she's going to be wearing a rose on her lapel. He's going to be holding that book of poetry so she'll know who he is. So he's scanning the crowd, looking at these people, and up walks this woman who's more than plump, more older than he is, well past 40, graying hair, not the image of what he had hoped for. And all of a sudden he notices this woman walking by who's young and slender and blonde, and she says, "Going my way, sailor," and he's thinking, "Ooh, that's what I really am attracted to." But he says, "No, this is the woman who's wearing the rose on the lapel. I'm going to stick with this one." And he goes up to the woman and he says, "May I take you to dinner?" And she says, "Look, buddy, I don't know what this is all about, but that young woman who walked by asked me to wear this rose on my lapel. And she said that if you asked me out to dinner, I should tell you she's waiting for you in the restaurant across the street. It's some sort of a test." And here's what I believe about that, is that marriage requires some single-mindedness. We have to stick with our covenants, because otherwise there will be more attractive alternatives that come toward us every now and then and draw us away from our commitments. And if we follow those things, then we never get to experience the rewards. And John Blanchard maintained his single-mindedness, and he and Hollis went on to experience over 40 years of marriage together.
I love that story.
It is definitely powerful. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're talking about some powerful issues here. Ron Deal is with us. We're talking about keys to successful stepfamilies. Ron has written a number of best-selling books, whether it be Becoming a Smart Stepdad, Becoming a Smart Stepmom, Keys to Successful Stepfamilies. We recommend all of them if you want to learn more about what Ron Deal is all about. What is the deal with Ron Deal, as we like to say? Go to homeward.com, and in the broadcast radio broadcast section today, you'll find the listing of today's program, and you'll find a link there to Ron's website. So we encourage you to check that out. Also, remember that if you missed any part of today's program, we are always streaming audio at homeward.com. Many listeners like to listen just on the computer. Or if you'd like to podcast with us, that podcast subscription is free, and we've taken some of the guesswork and legwork out of getting that going for you. If you go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, you'll see a podcast link that takes you right to our site on iTunes, then you don't have to sift through millions of different iTunes sites. You can start that subscription today, and it's free at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But Ashley is your sister now, Kaylee.
You mean she's my stepsister, Dad. She's not my real sister.
Okay, you're right.
Dad, I know Kim's your wife now, and I'm glad you guys got married, but Ashley is such a brat.
I know it must seem like she gets away with murder at times, honey.
It's not fair, Dad.
Look, I know, and I'll make it up to you somehow, I promise. You know there's always a way to balance the scales, if you know what I mean.
I realize this may sound obvious, but dealing with a blended family is never easy. And here's something else that's not exactly a revelation. Even if your circumstances never change, your attitude can change, and that makes a difference. If you're in a blended family situation, remember that your own children will often feel a certain animosity toward their step-siblings. I mean, that's perfectly normal. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Helping Blended Families Blend Better, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, encouraging parents, building families.
You're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns.
Well, whether your stepfamily came together as a result of divorce or death, you can have a positive stepfamily experience. We're with Ron Deal. He's a licensed counselor with the Better Life Counseling Center, also family life minister at Southwest Church of Christ in Jonesboro, Arkansas, noted author and the author of a great book, The Smart Stepfamily, 7 Steps to a Healthy Family. And this is day 2 where we're talking through these 7 steps, Ron, and I appreciate so much, you know, what you're saying, and I love how you did the steps. Now, step 4, I feel like it's a dance class here, is step in line. Talk about that.
This one has 2 parts to it. Couples and stepfamilies need to step in line with each other in terms of parenting the children. In terms of parents and step-parent roles, and again, that is a very unique thing to be a step-parent. Authority comes about differently. You have to earn the right to lead. You have to build relationship with the kids. Otherwise, they won't respect you, and that takes time, and it's a challenge. The other part of step in line is to work with all the other adults who are parenting the children. You know, Jim, 100 years ago, we said in America that parents had lots of children. And now we say children have lots
of parents. Amazing.
Because they have a mom and a dad and a stepmom and a stepdad and maybe an ex-stepdad who was at one time married to mom. And it goes on and on and on. People who have influence in their life, we don't even begin to count grandparents and step-grandparents. And so the point is that parents and step-parents have to try to work with the other home and increase their cooperation with an ex-spouse and make that between-home negotiation as comfortable as it can be, as cooperative as it can be. And there's some real challenges there, and we try to give people some real practical information in the book and on our website at successfulstepfamilies.com.
True or false? Ineffective step-parents try to replace the non-custodial biological parents.
That's true. They kind of feel intimidated, feel like... I think this is especially true for stepmothers. You know, we put so much responsibility on women for the mothering and caretaking of children that stepmothers come in and they feel like that they really need to step in there and be an important emotional part of the kids' lives. And the kids may or may not be asking for that. And if they're not asking for that, and they're not open to the stepmother, then she's working really hard and beating her head against a wall and feels like she's a failure. And so what she needs to understand is, hey, you don't have to replace, right, you know, bio mom. She's got a special role. You're just going to be an additional. You know, one stepdaughter and her stepmom worked this phrase out. She said, you're my bonus mom.
Mm.
And I think that is so nice that a stepmother can just say, I'm an add-on. I'm a parent figure. I'm a mentor to this child. We're going to figure out how to do life together, but I don't have to replace that biological mom.
Step five in the process is something you call sidestep.
And there's some pitfalls that step families oftentimes don't know are there. One of the pitfalls is a step-parent who tries to come in and take on authority that they don't have. And let me speak to the Christian father who, for a minute here, has been to Promise Keepers events and takes very seriously his role with his stepchildren. He can come in and be a wonderful influence on his kids, but what he can't come in and do is try to be a heavy. He's got to earn the right to lead, and oftentimes if he says, okay, I'm the man of the house and this is the way it's going to be, then he has just cut his own throat. Now, I know you know Josh McDowell's phrase, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Right?
Absolutely.
A step-parent has no relationship,
right,
on which to build the rules. So they can exasperate, to use Ephesians 6 language, a stepchild in a hurry. And so it's a different way of influencing the kids. You influence them through their mother in the beginning, and then eventually you have your own relationship to stand on, and then you can be a great mentor to those kids.
And I was thinking about how can effective step-parents help their children deal with the change in even what takes place with birth order that occurs with two families blend to one.
Yeah, well, you know, Kevin Lehman calls it the birth order blender, and I like that. If you're used to being the baby of the family, and then all of a sudden you marry in, or your mom marries into a family, and now there's a child younger than you, and you've been dethroned,
right,
you know, that is not fun at all. Well, one of the things parents can do is just try to restore some of the specialness that baby of the family got, or the oldest child or the oldest daughter. Sometimes they have extra responsibilities and roles, and they play an important part, and then when they lose those roles or that position, you know, that can be really hard on them. And so try to restore some of that specialness. Look for ways of giving them those extra strokes.
Well, I'm trying to get through all seven steps, so here's step six. Step through the wilderness to overcoming special challenges. So step through.
Step through. This is the mentality that, hey, developing a step family is like going through the wilderness wanderings like Moses and the Israelites. Now, here's the good news. There is a promised land, and you can get there. The bad news is you got to go through the wilderness and through the sea of opposition like the Red Sea. You got to go through the difficulties in order to get to the rewards. And most people, when they get to the difficulties, quit and go home. They lose the attitude of patience and determination. And if you don't hold on to those attitudes, you can't endure the difficulty. The other thing that we encourage people with stepping through the wilderness is the trust factor. And I don't mean trust in yourself or your spouse, but trust in God. Just like when the Israelites were standing beside that Red Sea and Pharaoh's army's pursuing and they don't have anywhere to go, Moses says, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And the next thing they know, Jim, there's a path through that Red Sea that they didn't know existed. And I believe God does that for us. He gives us paths through our sea of opposition. We just have to trust Him and then keep stepping and in faithfulness. And somehow we get through.
Well, really, in many ways, step seven then answers that. It's so encouraging. Step over. We've made it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a promised land. There are some of those rewards that come from building the family. It just doesn't come in the beginning. It's like we said earlier, there is a honeymoon for remarried families and remarried couples. It just comes at the end of the journey and not at the beginning. And so you have to kind of hold on through the tough stuff, trust God to see you through. And then when you get to the rewards, well, boy, that's a natural. Everybody loves that.
Great, great insight. One last question. How can a divorced or a widowed parent know for sure that the remarriage is best for them and their children? What would you say to them?
Well, I really think they can't know. Nobody knows for sure. I think you need to do your homework, and I think you need to take a lot of time in dating. And let me just say something that may be kind of controversial for some people to hear, but I think it is just as legitimate from the child's point of view. I think for a single parent to stay single, raise their kids, is just as legitimate an option as it is to actually get remarried and raise them with a step-parent. Now, I don't want to fool people, because older step-families, second-half step-families will tell you that even adult step-children have difficulties adjusting to their parent getting remarried. That's true when you're 35 and 55, not just when you're 15. But it really is helpful for the children if they have the home that they're in and they're able to live there without the complexity of adding more people and another step-parent, somebody that they have to deal with. So couples should go slowly. They should date for a long time, I mean 2 years, and then date the kids for a year and then get married. You know, none of this, we've known each other 6 months and the kids are going to be fine. No, don't do that to yourself or to the children. You're just setting yourself up for a lot of heartache, I think. So we tell people to really be cautious, open both eyes before they go into the marriage, learn all you can, do your homework, go to premarital counseling, not just like for a first-time marriage, but for step-family marriages, and read good books and do your homework, and you'll be ready.
Great, great insight. Ron, you're amazing. Thank you for great insight, and also thank you for a good book.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to be on the show.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Ron Deal here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme, Keys to Successful Stepfamilies. And if you want to take a look at any of the books that Ron has written on this topic, he brings a unique perspective in that Ron's perspective of blended families comes from the fact that his mother was widowed when Ron was very young and then remarried. So that creates the blended family experience for him. Every blended family experience, it seems like it's different. And that's why having Ron's voice and the voice of authors like Ginger Kulbaba and Natalie Nichols Gillespie, just to name a few, have been so helpful to us over the years here at Homeward. And Jim, take the final moments of our time together here on the broadcast and talk to that family who's going through that blended family experience. Give them some hope. Give them some encouragement, because it's so challenging at times to really make a go of this.
Well, first of all, Roger, I would say it is just not easy. I was doing a seminar just this last weekend, and a woman came up to me with her husband and said, so how do we blend our family better? It's not working so well. And basically what I did was I put my arms around him and I said, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of commitment and a lot of work, and it's worth it. And don't expect miracles overnight, although pray for a miracle, and sometimes that does happen. But I've got three words, actually: credible, complementary, and committed. Your credibility in a stepfamily means that you need to not only trust your own children, but you have to work a little bit harder to build that trust relationship with your stepchildren as well. And remember, not to make it too difficult for them to earn your trust in the process. And it's just simply not an easy thing, but you've got to be credible. Also, be complimentary. Show affection and show affirmation whenever you can. You know, Mark Twain is one of my favorite quotes, said, I can live 2 months on one good compliment. And it's amazing how what a positive compliment will do to really make the relationship better with your stepchildren, or frankly, with anybody. So instead of greeting them at the door with something negative, greet them with a compliment. You'll be surprised at how far that goes in terms of building the relationship. And finally, be committed to your stepfamily. Let's just say that the only way for a blended family to really blend is for each member to buy into the concept that this is, in fact, their family now. For good, bad, or indifferent, it's their family. And so a commitment to that family and a commitment to making it work is really what's going to make that happen.
Boy, that's great insight, Jim. And I know you know from experience, I know from experience, when you're around a blended family like that, let's face it. I mean, our family situation, we have our blood relatives, but then there are also other people who are in our world who kind of feel like family, neighbors and friends from church and things like that. So we kind of naturally are inclined to blend families together anyway. So why not, in a situation where there's been a remarriage, maybe because of death or divorce, be more intentional about that. Good insight today from Ron Deal. By the way, if you missed any part of today's program, we have the audio archived at homeward.com. If you would like a copy of the full-length audio CD, we'll put part one and part two on. As a matter of fact, Ben will take your order right now. If you call 800-397-9725, we'll say thank you for your gift of any amount in support of our ministry. When you drop us a line, give us a call and ask for that audio CD. You can also write to us, too, at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.